Hi, this is Troy Grable.
And JJ Andre.
JJ and I are going to share 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 9 with you today. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came out of Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites, totally destroy all of the belongings to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys." So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judea. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when we came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Sur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took King Og of the Amalekites alive, and all of his people he totally destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared the king and the best sheep, best cattle, the fattened cows and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, because everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Man, JJ, that's a lot going on in just a few short verses. But, you know, you've got this order from God,
right,
that Samuel's sharing with Saul.
And he told him exactly what God's words were.
Exactly. You word know? For word, what he wanted. And, you know, go kill the Amalekites, men, women, children, infants, and everything else.
Everything. Everything is everything. Yeah.
And then Saul decides to really kind of look at the best of the best. I mean, you know, we all want those good things. And like, sure. Hey, I wish I had that tool that you had in the back of your truck. I'm going to go grab that, you know, and, yeah, and some of those things we wish we would have. But, you know, Saul took it to a whole other level. But then he said, like, "I took this for sacrifice for God."
And the main thing was you kept the king, the one who was, right, you know, the dirtiest one out of them all,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, it sounds, you know, like somebody wasn't really listening too well. I do that sometimes myself.
Amen.
You know, I don't, yeah. I do things halfway or not fully all the way. And, you know, We pay for it, you
Absolutely.
Know. If we don't remember, it's God's will, not our will.
So what do you think?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, you know, how do you navigate the situations, you know, when God's commanding you, you know, against your moral compass or your ethical beliefs, you know?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, there's the big things that I think maybe we all think, oh, that's easy. I'm going to do it God's
right.
way.
Yeah.
But it's those little things that come in a conversation that you're having with a colleague, or what they say, like the little white lies
right.
don't really hurt, but they do hurt, right?
So oh, yeah.
I look at it from the standpoint, and it's hard, and we both said we fail at it daily, but if I'm in that situation, I'm really trying to think, okay, is this what Jesus is asking me to do? Like, can you really tell me that Jesus would do this? And if the answer is no, then you need to run.
Right, right. And in this world, I mean, we have to ask that all the time.
Yeah.
Thousands of times a day, you know? And I think for some people, me included, his presence is always right here with him. And are we going to do it like him? We're going to try.
Right.
We're going to try. Are we going to fail? More than likely. But we're going to pick ourselves back up, pray to God, say, hey, thank you for the experience of this. But
well, what do you do like when you're pushed at that point? I know you, for those of you that don't know JJ, he has this internal flame that he refers to. And it's either on, like burning hot, or maybe it's not. And it's something that I've learned from him that it's like, man, that is such a good way of really measuring your connectedness with Christ, maybe.
Yeah.
So, when you are challenged, JJ, I know in the challenge at times, maybe that flame flickers because you're like,
oh, yeah.
that deep breath type
of thing. The flame will bounce. And it's one of those things as I come back to the table. Now, in my journey, that's the one thing I picked up is I am a flame. I've got to present myself to everyone, like, you know, as a God-fearing person and walking like Jesus, but I'm able to see when my flame is flickering, and that's God-given too, because I used to be invisible to all of it and wouldn't even really care about what's going on. Some things that would come out of my mouth at times, right. You know, but now I want to walk like Jesus. I want people to see him through me. Yeah. And when, like I said, when that flickers, I'm aware of it, aware of his presence. I can backtrack a little bit, do a little prayer, fix it, move about forward.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
When you see Saul's partial obedience, we'll call it, mm-hmm. What does that teach you about the dangers of compromising what God's asking us to do, his directives, his little soft whispers that we hear? What?
First of all, it's teaching me you can't compromise, because when you compromise, then that's when you're setting yourself up to fail. I've failed a lot in life, but this is quite an eye-opener here also. You know, you're seeing this is a pattern of humanity, in a sense, from way back that we do this. We can't just give partial obedience. We can't. We have to be all in.
Well, I kind of thought of it this way as well, as like earthly ways and God ways don't mix.
No, they do not.
And and like you said, I mean, okay, so what's that boil down to? That boils down to you truly having faith and you truly trusting and obeying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you are going to partially obey, you might as well not even obey.
Yeah. I mean, you're being disobedient either way. If you're only partially obeying, right. You're still being disobedient.
Right.
And he wants our obedience.
And that partial to me really highlights the selfishness that we have in our in our inner being, right?
This is true. How do you ensure that the worship and obedience that God is genuine and wholehearted to you rather than just like ritualistic, self-serving, just for yourself?
Yeah. You know, JJ, I gotta be honest, I struggle here.
Yeah.
A lot. I try my best to be as obedient as I can, as everybody else does, right? In my heart of hearts, you know, I let my past still kind of control some of those thoughts and feelings. And so I tend to, you know, try to live genuinely out my faith, but it's hard, especially people you grew up with, people you hurt, people in your family that knew you this way versus this way. And where I struggle is really the hypocrisy side.
Oh, yeah.
How can you say, Troy, that I did smoked weed and drank a whole bunch of beers with you and, you know, back then, and now you're, you know, following Christ. Like,
right.
To me, it's like, that might be a simple one, but it's, to me, there's just that avenue of getting stuck by my own thoughts that these people see me as a hypocrite and it's hard, but I mean, I think we're in a men's group.
I can relate to what you're saying. Keep going. Yeah.
And so in those settings, I feel more maybe confident with my faith because I know everybody around me is trying to grow and want to go. But it's like those people in your past, whether it's a hurt or they knew you one way and now you're another. For me, it's really tough because I don't want my genuine faith to come off as fake type of thing. But how about you?
And quite similar. And that right there is our enemy living his best life, trying to get at us.
Right.
You know, he knows when we're doing well and we escape from whatever it is. This emotion went through me not too long ago. I was like, all my friends that I had as I was growing up and all this, I come back to the table and it seems like I'm ignored a lot. But and at first I was like, oh, poor me, no friends, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, oh my goodness, I won the lotto. My faith family is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's letting go, getting into that part. And I have family and friends that think, oh, you're, because they know of my past,
right.
You know what? There's a time to stop and move forward. And I'll tell you what, God has grabbed a hold of me, hugged me so hard and said, Jay, look. Kind of like the prodigal son. He was always waiting for me to come back. I come back, he gave me this big old hug. All these little things, blessings. And I hate to go around like that person with the bumper sticker saying, I am blessed, you know. But it is what it is.
Thank you for joining us today. We've really enjoyed this time. And Jay, your heart just bleeds out God's love. So I can't thank you enough for being on here today.
I just want to say that comes from you guys here, the elders and everybody. Because when I first walked into this place and seen this, I said to myself, I want some of that. I want that. And what that was is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, so it was a charge. I'd like to give a challenge for the listeners to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Reflect on the areas in your life where you might be compromising in your obedience to God's clear commands. Consider how you can align your actions more closely with God's will, even when it requires difficult choices or sacrifices.
That is one big challenge. Yeah. And I'm going to take up your challenge for sure, Jay.
All right, me too. So,
but let us close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for showing us what obedience truly is. And I just ask that you keep our hearts focused on you so that we stay challenged and we stay obedient and we stay focused on you and your love. Father, thank you for all that you do. And bless our faith family. In your name.
Amen.